This is Sunday Skate on Sports Radio WEEI.
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and the NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey.
Like it is sure.
Yeah.
With Ken Laird from the Craig Hill Morning Show.
What a bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports.
What are you guys doing?
Putting on the foil.
Every game.
Yeah, you want some?
No.
And WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman.
Everything gonna be all right?
Sunday Skate is brought to you by Star Market.
Come here, Greg. An orange, none of that stinking root beer.
The official supermarket of the Boston Bruins and by Red River Technology.
Brought your cars with you, huh?
Yeah, we're on the road. We're all set to go.
Lace them up for some bees talk right now.
Eat this way, until we got a lot of losses.
Yeah, we got a lot of losses.
Sunday Skate, I'll give it a big B+.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Just Laird and Kalman today. We've got Pete Blackburn off recharging the batteries, Matty.
No, I told Pete that all those Coronas were going to catch up to him and he was going to get that virus, so he has to stop drinking Corona.
Who picks Maine to go to recharge their batteries, too? He went to Maine.
Like, in February.
Right. So, only Pete Blackburn. He'll be back next week. I can't complain. I tapped out a couple weeks ago with the flu myself. No Corona, just the flu. I want to start and go against radio instincts, Matt, and start a little positive because I think you, as the curmudgeon of the show, are viewed as too negative. Too negative on the Bruins. And this team is in first place right now. They have a 4-0 shutout in on Long Island yesterday as they beat the Isles 4-0 and Tuukka with another shutout. But before we get into the particulars of the game, just the big picture now. They finished up February 11-3. They have a nice cushion on Tampa. And maybe the most positive thing you can say about this team is Tampa, even though they won yesterday, had been skidding, and they've lost Steven Stamkos to a what do they call it? A core injury? Core muscle injury?
Yeah. But you know what? Let's face it. That team has lost players in the past, and they've survived. They're not.
I guess.
That's
Stamkos,
a deep team.
Stamkos.
He's a pretty good player, but considering the schedule and the league as it's built, you're not too worried about them. You know, they're not going to go in the tank here.
Yeah, and even if they do, they're going to make the playoffs, and he'll be back for the playoffs.
You still have to get a couple of points in your head-to-head games with them this week.
Big week. Two games with Tampa on the road
Tuesday. If they were to lose in regulation both games, that would make it dicey regardless of who's in their lineup. But, yeah, I mean, right now, if they get a couple, all they do is get, I'd say, in those two games out of 4 points.
Get a split.
Get 2 points, you know, lose a couple shootouts, whatever. Just get 2 points out of that, and they're cruising right to it.
Tampa does have a game in hand, and they're 7 back, so they could be, you know, 5 back going into those two matchups. But really, I mean, the Bruins have 16 games left. They have a chance to get 32 more points. If they would sweep those, they'd be at 126, which would set a franchise record. Last year, Tampa had 128 points, which is incredible when you think about it.
Right.
But even if you get half of those, you have 110 points, and you're sitting pretty. You know, you could, if you win the number one seed, play some tough teams. It's bizarre to watch some of the other Eastern Conference teams melt here. The Penguins have lost 6 in a row. I mean, you could have Crosby in the first round the way this is trending.
I don't think that's happening.
It could. I mean, they got shut out last night to San Jose 5-0, and I thought they were the winners at the deadline with everything they had done. But
Washington's been struggling, too. It's just...
Yep. I mean, Carolina, I think, had lost 3 in a row.
It's just like two-thirds of a season blues, you know?
You have basically seven or eight teams you could play there
right
now. If you're the number one seed, you could play Philly, Pittsburgh, Islanders, Columbus.
Columbus is pretty much
penciled in.
Out of gas right now. Islanders, Philly, yeah, those are the ones to watch out for.
Yesterday, to watch Marchand put the dagger in the heart right after Komarov blows up Bergeron, it's just a thing of beauty. I mean, Marchand obviously had a terrible Game 7 last year.
Here's the thing about Komarov, okay?
Uncle Leo?
You watch that game, and Marchand's all up in his face, and he's doing all that, and he's always, like, he always has a stunned look on his face. Like, he can't believe that the guy who's been doing this to him for, like, 10 years now is doing it to him.
I was.
Looking at the referee.
Look on the bench.
Like, he always has a look of disbelief. Like, he can't believe that this guy's doing these things. And it's just so weird. Like, does he not have, like, a memory? Does he not know what's going on?
But it's beautiful. I mean, Marchand with Pulock on his back. Pulock?
Yeah.
And backhands that in, and that's it. 3-0, they're dead. And then chirping them on the bench as they go by. I mean, he is a killer. That top line right now with Pastrnak at 47th goal yesterday. They are awesome. And I will say this. You made the case last week, and I think you have for several weeks, that Cassidy should have done more in terms of bolstering the D at the deadline.
He's Sweeney.
Sweeney, yeah. I disagree. Having watched now Lazan here for 16 games.
Until yesterday, where he was a little better all around and got a lucky bounce on a goal scored, Matt Grizzlick has kind of been terrible.
He had a little slump.
He hasn't been moving the puck quickly, and if you're not going to move the puck quickly, he still takes those massive hits and, you know, has trouble defending down low, so clearly
But that's part of the reason I like Lazan is that pairing. He's got a little thump. Right. He's your Kevin Miller prototype. Got 6 stitches on the chin yesterday. Even if he does falter, I mean, this is what you're paying John Moore for to be a 7th D, right? Or when Clifton's healthy, he comes back. Are you really? I mean, I think you got to feel pretty good about their D heading into the postseason.
There's been some struggles, and you know what? Too, I don't want to ruin your
it's my positivity.
I don't want to ruin the positivity segment, but I was actually thinking after that game yesterday, like as great as they played and 4-0 win is awesome. They scored all 3 of their even strength goals with the first line, perfection line, whatever the hell you want to call them, on the ice.
Well, that's in the negative box.
They weren't getting much from the other 3 lines again. But yeah, okay, you want to say the D is playing well? I mean, they played great last year. You know, they got through to the final with John Moore, but I just don't think it puts you over the top. I think you need to have a better mix. I think when you play at Tampa or remember, best of 7 series is a whole other animal. We've seen it how many times. You just want to have, I mean, yeah, even, you know, think about it. Even against Toronto last year, and it's pretty much the same Toronto team this year, you needed to put a David Backes in the lineup to add that little bit of grit, that little bit of size to change the momentum, remember? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they needed him to come in and do that. So you don't have that coming from him this time around. Where is that going to come from? Well, your back end would have been a good place to get some of that if you had made a move for a Brendan Dillon type player.
They don't trade for D-men at the deadline very often. Do you think part of it is the system is too complicated? They feel like it's too late in the year, you know, with the zone scheme they play to plug guys in there? Because Cassidy mentioned
something. I think it's because they really like their depth. I think Sweeney boasts about that. I think he really thinks that if they had to get down to the 8th and the 9th and it's Vakanainen and it's Zboril, that they'd be fine. I mean, I think they really like it. I mean, not that they don't explore it at all, but unless it's something that really, you know, they can get away with where a team's looking to just dump something which wouldn't really happen where they're trying to dump something that you think is useful.
Yeah.
I think they think that that's the way to go. I mean, and they're more worried about the forwards and the secondary scoring to make sure they add enough pieces there.
Probably the guy I'm actually worried the most about. I hate to pull a Jermaine Wiggins card, but Chara got beat by Barzal yesterday in the second period and took a slashing penalty. I'm thinking, oh, this is, you might. That'll pop up in the playoffs every now and then.
He still has a little bit of the adjustment mentally to remember that he's not 30 and he can't just pinch and can't, you know, stand up in the neutral zone. He needs to back off a little bit, give some gap. And
is it time for load management? I mean, let's say they sweep the.
Well, it's
the
already load management. He's already down a couple minutes a game,
he
right?
He played like 21 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, so he used to be in the 23, 24, 25 range.
That's the Chara load management.
You know, once this thing is wrapped up, I'm sure they'll start doing some load management. They haven't, you know, shied away from that.
And McAvoy had a giveaway yesterday in the third that was bad early, it's hard to bitch. He has been on a nice roll here.
I mean, he falls into the Chara category where people would complain about Chara, and he'd be like, well, when you're on the ice for 28 minutes a game, you're going to make some mistakes. I mean, he's always going to make some mistakes, but, I mean, his positives, even when he wasn't scoring and everyone was decided that made him a bad defenseman and scouts were calling unsolicited to say they were going to trade him to some people, you know, it was never really happening. He was always trying to take care of the defensive end and was doing a decent enough job. I mean, right now you have a 6-point lead on St. Louis for the President's Trophy, and I know a lot of people were superstitious and don't want to win the President's Trophy, but clearly if you win that at this point and have home ice throughout, that's a huge boost for you.
It is surprising to see Boston and St. Louis first in each conference. Yeah. I mean, really, some people thought it was a fluky final last year. This is proving it certainly was not.
Yeah, I mean, I never bought into St. Louis before the run they had. People were saying they were cup contenders, and I never really saw it last year. Obviously, I was way off, and now
Pete called that earlier. I give Blackburn credit for that.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's pretty amazing that team. But you know what it is? They're not the most talented team, St. Louis, right? But they are a team. They have they have these reinforcements on the back end and up front. Guys get injured. You know, they play without Tarasenko all year. They fill in these guys like Robert Thomas, Sammy Blais. We saw it in the final. How these guys contribute. I mean, that's what the Bruins are going for, except they haven't developed them enough to the point where they have to go and trade for Richies and Kashas. They don't have these guys to come up from the minors and plug in.
Well, Stanika is sitting there, and before the show, I said to you, should we get Mark Diver on for a couple minutes just to talk about him? And you said, don't wake Mark up. I'm sure he's not up for another 3 hours. I would agree with that. But he scored his 7th shorthanded goal of the year. He looks so good. I mean, what are they waiting for? Bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to see what – obviously it's going to come in, but, you know, you also don't want to – some guys might be kind of fragile at this point, but yeah, once the intensity of some of these games comes off, especially, it might be good. But I don't know. Do you really want to
bring him up for Tampa?
They'd rather not throw him into the fire in the playoffs if they don't have to, right?
Well, but throw him in now then. Isn't that more to the point?
I think they're trying to get through this little stretch here with the two Tampa games.
And then next week
and
you
then
bring
maybe
him
by next week they start to think about that. Plus, you know, Providence is in a fight too. And there's something to be said for winning in the AHL. Clearly, you want Stadnicka to be up here.
Not.
They're not going to not bring him up because of that. But, you know, when you get these guys some experience in the playoff in the minors, it's a pretty big deal.
All right. Okay. I'll give you that. What else am I missing on my positivity segment here before we get into gripes? They were focused yesterday. They were rolling four lines. Yep. You know, so that's all well and good. I think you knocked this on Twitter, but I do think Bruce Cassidy could be coach of the year.
He just never goes to the coach who's the coach of the best team. It hardly ever does that, right?
Well, who's the favorite right now?
The favorite right now is probably either Tortorella or Travis Green.
Travis Green of the Canucks.
Or maybe Mike Sullivan. Those are the three that the NHL listed and had people up in arms about.
Well, Mike Sullivan's team's lost six in a row. So
exactly. Now they're going that. Of course, the NHL also tweets out that Vasilevsky's a favorite for the Vezina with his .915 save percentage.
But isn't there something to be said for bouncing back after a Game 7 Cup loss at home and getting your team to run to the President's Cup?
I mean, he would be kind of in the conversation. How about David Quinn with the Rangers? No one saw them, you know, making such a move this year, even though they added Panarin. Barry Trotz always has to be there. You know, obviously he won last year. Dismantled their team, but they're good again. I mean, they just keep it together. They don't have a superstar player.
You're wrong. Cassidy's going to win. Jack Adams this year. Tuca's not going to win the Vezina, but I think that's your, and of course, Pastrnak, I could win Rocket Richard. He's got a 2-goal lead in the goal list. Huh?
Sure.
He's not going to catch Draisaitl on points.
No, I don't think that's happening.
And he'll probably win MVP. All right, so that's just a wide encompassing. I mean, this team is in really good shape. They're a good team. They have a great chance. So
they have always been a good team, though, the whole season. I mean, they added at the deadline because they saw that they weren't perfect. I mean, you have to look forward. You're not looking at March games against Columbus. You're looking at April, May games against Tampa. And even, you know, as much as we know they should be able to handle Toronto easily in a first-round series if it comes to that,
mm-hmm.
we said that the last 2 years, and look what happened. I mean, it's just a different beast in the postseason, a hot goalie or a fluke play and things turn. I mean, it also comes down to health, right? I mean, people keep bringing up, you know, that they lost that game 7, you know, with Marchand and Pastrnak both banged up. People talk about Marchand's line change, but maybe his bad hand that we knew was going to happen. We knew something was going to happen in that damn scrimmage.
Pastrnak had a wrist thing yesterday briefly. I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go.
Right.
Just banged into the wall.
Yeah, you never know what's just a short-term thing and what might linger. So
that's true. Okay, now, coming up, we're going to get into your conversation with Tory Krug, and I do want your reactions to the first week of Kasha and Richie, because I think this is going to be, they're not going to fall into the positivity category for
me. Kasha got like a half a week, right?
Okay, got two games. But we start on the phone lines, and you can join us, 617-779-7937, with the First Lady of Skate, Maria in Watertown, out of the chute today, because I think she wants to talk Bruins D as well. Hi, Maria.
I do, but I just want a couple of quick comments on some of the points that you gentlemen made. Home ice, I don't care about at this point because, no, I really don't. Yeah. I really don't because after last year and then what happened against the Blackhawks, I would be very happy to see a game 7 on someone else's ice mm-hmm. and watch the Bruins skate around with the Stanley Cup because I just think for some bizarre reason, maybe there's more focus. I don't understand it, but I would prefer not to see that again. If possible. The other thing is I want to thank the Bruins for going 11-3-0 in the month of February and not subjecting us to any overtime or shootout.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you very much.
Was there not one
thank
in the whole month?
Much.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was the stat I heard this morning on Nesson. So I was like, thank Jesus. and with regard to the defensive core, I'm okay that they didn't make any changes because honestly, I think they do have the components that they need to have a relatively active decor offensively. I'm not really sure why, you know, Cassidy doesn't unleash them a little bit more often, but I think that, you know, Grizzlick can skate and move the puck. McAvoy is showing what we've been waiting for to see from this young man. Of course, we've got Tory Krug, and I think when Brandon Carlo sets his mind to it, he's got some offensive skill too. So, you know, I know a lot of it relies on the health of these guys and having that depth, but I think that this team will be successful for the remainder of the season and well into the playoffs if these guys are more active offensively. And then I know you're probably going to talk about this with regard to Torrey Krug, because there hasn't been any inkling of what's going on with this kid and his contract. But I was on the camp of I'm not a fan of his defensive prowess and don't want to overspend for his offensive prowess, but I certainly understand the impact that he has on this team. And I'm not sure why there hasn't been any conversation, but, you know, I hope that he maintains the status quo and goes in line with, you know, the team-friendly deals that the Bergerons and the Pasternaks and the Marchands have taken, because, honestly, I hope that they don't overspend in an effort to keep this young man.
Well, we will talk about Krug. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate the
call. I think we'll talk about Krug more later, but I think just briefly to say, I don't think they're not going to overspend. They've shown that, right? There's a structure here. There's a budget here, and this is, you have to fit it or you don't. The overtime and shootout thing is funny, because yesterday on the pregame show, when they were trying to fill some time there, you know, Nesson had some youth hockey players, and they were asking questions, and they asked, one of the questions was to Brad Marchand, was, how do you guys prepare for the shootout? And his answer was basically, we don't. We try to win in regulation or
and to correct, there were two overtime games in the month. Nick LePan, Bruce says, the Chicago game.
Yeah, right. That was February, right?
And Edmonton, they won in overtime as well.
Right.
But avoided the shootout, so that must be the stat.
So that's huge.
But now they can go to a shootout. That's why Cash is
and,
here.
And just to go back to the defense corps, I mean, I know I'm supposed to be the curmudgeon here, and this is what I'm thinking. I've never been worried about them being offensively active. I mean, when Charlie McAvoy wasn't scoring, it wasn't because he wasn't being active, like joining the play. Clearly, he was kind of tentative to shoot the puck sometimes, but there were chances where he was hitting the post and not getting bounces, and he was still active in the play. You can be active in the play without actually scoring.
Yeah.
And we've seen that from the other day. I'm worried about the defending and the breakouts against teams like Tampa, even Toronto, the way they play now, they come at you on the forecheck. I'm worried about them being able to hold up with smaller guys that they have. And then when the injuries hit, if one or two guys come out, okay, John Moore's next. Who's after that? Connor Clifton?
Clifton and Kampfer.
Kampfer. Can we trust these guys? Clifton's been out a while now. I don't know what Bruce Cassidy's waiting for to get him some run. I mean, I guess it seems like this is a big week for them. They want to just get through these three Florida games, hopefully rack up enough points to really have a ridiculous cushion, and then they're going to start plugging guys in. Like, I think you'll see Clifton come back in next week. You'll see Studnicka come up next week, play a little forward. But they have to. Can they really trust those guys? Whereas if you had, I wasn't saying that they had to bring in a big defenseman to play regularly. I wanted someone to come in to be able to rotate with Grzelcyk and Lauzon and whoever in that bottom pair.
Like a seventh D.
Depending on the matchups.
But Brendan Dillon was the big name, right?
Right.
That was out there. That's if you're going to trade for Dillon, you're playing him every night.
And why not? And why not solidify your decor that way? I mean, I don't know why you would.
Because I think they like Lauzon. They just want him to play. He's been very good. I mean, other than the suspension, whatever.
In the grand scheme of things, it was a third round pick that he went for, or a second.
I think a second.
So, in the grand scheme of things, how much did you need that draft pick to be sure? It goes back to the Kasha and Richie thing. I mean, if we want to segue to that yet, but
yeah, let's do it.
Again, they're question marks, and they've shown that in these first two or three games that they've played, and we don't know, how they're going to play in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, you really don't know what you're getting out of these guys.
I am very skeptical. I mean, Richie had two penalties yesterday. He looked terrible. I mean, I understand
that's
the Dallas
Nick
game.
That's Richie we all knew and loved when he got him.
That's what we worried about. There was also an alarming quote. We had Guy Hebert on, the Ducks analyst, on the Skate Pod earlier this week. Nick, I think you have this clip in there where Hebert's talking. You asked him, basically, does he show up every night?
Right.
And Hebert didn't rip him, because I don't think he was going to rip anybody, but once he gets into starting to talk about veteran leadership, this is a little concerning to me. Here's what he
is. Is he engaged more often than not engaged? Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I think everybody expected and continues to expect, you know, any player to keep raising his level of play. And, and you know, can he, you know, has he just scratched the surface of, you know, what he can do at the NHL level. And, you know, ironically, he has probably one of his most productive nights of his career. And then, you know, he's traded the next day, two goals, two assists against Vegas. So it's just one of those things where that's just another sign of what he's able to do. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of times guys need maybe a fresh start, or they need, a different coaching staff, or they need different players around. And ironically, we were talking about, Heinen coming out to Anaheim, mm-hmm. and, you know, talking about the work ethic that exists in the Bruins locker room. You know, everybody knows about Chara and Bergeron, their work ethic, Marchand, you know. So I think that's the type of thing that I think Nick Ritchie will really pick up on. And I think he's going to see the work ethic of these guys and the expectations of playing for a Stanley Cup. And
so there you go. He's talking about work ethic. And so when he's saying that, yeah. is he saying he needs a kick in the ass? He needs,
right.
he needs Chara and Marchand and Cassidy to motivate him every night. That
right.
is not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like his brother 2.0, right? So, and that didn't work out.
Yikes.
But, so I'm always skeptical when they bring up things like that. Oh, you'll throw him into that culture and he'll find his work ethic. I mean, again, we've said this several times. They brought Johansson in here, and you and I didn't know much about him. And
nope.
clearly, he got hurt early, and we thought he was going to be a bust. We mm-hmm. called him dead wood, but
yeah.
he had a maturity and a veteran presence once he got going that you could tell he wasn't looking for anyone to like kick him in the butt. He could play, and he had a postseason track record, and that's the type of player you were looking for them to get, not these two question marks who. And of course, you talked all the time about, oh, they're going to get somebody to play with Krejci, get someone to play with Krejci. So now they got these two guys, and they stick Krejci with them.
Poor Krejci. God, it's a revolving door around the guy. Yeah, he's got to pick up both of them. Krejci, by the way, now has gone 10 games with
yeah.
two assists. 10 games, two assists. That's it. That's the list. So his line has obviously been scuffling here for a while, so much so that DeBrusk got demoted for these two, and DeBrusk's now at 9 games without a point. Yesterday he had 3 shots. He looked
yeah.
a little better.
Yeah, he's looked a little better the last 2 games. I think he's taking it to heart at least to play harder without the puck. He's back-checking better, and like you said, he had some chances yesterday. They weren't just 3, you know, shoot-ins from the perimeter, so that was a good sign to see. And again, it's the question marks. There's no secondary scoring here right now, and people are, in Sweeney we trust. And, good for you. We'll see how this goes. I mean, I think we said on the skate podcast, that you have to get past Tampa or the second round, no matter who it is. You never know. Tampa might fold up again.
Yeah.
To make these deals look like they were the right moves to make. And
for sure.
No excuses. I mean, even if there's injuries, you're supposed to be deep enough to overcome them now. I don't care who gets hurt. You're supposed to be able to overcome them at this point. And, clearly... Like I guess the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes was positive, so hope no one holds us against us. But clearly, there's still some question marks here. It's not the perfect team.
There are. We'll talk a little more about the roster shuffling and your big chat with Torey Krug this week. Did you corner him? And that was a Matt Kalman exclusive, I can only assume. Right?
Oh, of
all
course.
Those quotes. I mean, geez.
Yeah.
I mean, you were badgering the guy about Mookie Betts. And,
exactly.
We will get to the bottom of whether Krug is staying for the long term. Matt Kalman's big chat with him, that's on the way here on Sunday Skate. No Pete Blackburn today. He's off recharging the batteries. Let's find out what's trending.
You're listening to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird from the Greg Hill Morning Show, Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports, and WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman. Sunday Skate is brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins, and by Red River Technology.
What you do as a group, you end up with a couple of goals, I think 5 assists, and Bruce was just saying out there, he does want you guys in that part of the game. He does want you to join the mix.
Yeah, we've always had the green light. And as long as we're taking care of what's going on in front of our net, then, you know, he'll give us the green light every single time. So, time and score, appropriate timing. Third period, if you have the lead and it's 2-0, you know, probably not. And what ends up happening is Charlie scores a goal late. So we just try to, you know, make the right reads at the appropriate time and try to, you know, contribute as much as we can.
Torey Krug yesterday, 4-0 Bruins win against the Islanders, and 2 assists for Torey, including the first entry. Carlo hit him in the O-zone, the weird bounce off the back wall. Pasternak rips it in for his 47th, and he also set up McAvoy on the 4th goal of the year. Ken Laird, Matt Kalman with Pete Blackburn off here today, recharging the batteries in Maine. But let's talk Torey Krug. You had the big sit-down with Torey about his contract extension. Stand up in the corner of the dressing room. What? Just give me overall, is he staying or not? I mean, after talking to him, it's very much worth the read. He talks a lot. He talks about Mookie Betts and comparables and, you know, taking less. Is he staying or not?
I think the point of my story was I still can't get a feel for it.
Still don't know?
But here's what it comes down to. Like Maria was talking about when she called in. He needs to find his spot in the structure of the team. They're not going to pay him. Let's face it. Even, you know, David Krejci clearly has been the highest paid player for a while now, and that's not going to be the case on his next deal. And he has to find his spot within this structure.
His spot is the power play quarterback. I mean,
power play quarterback and second pair D. But you're not going to. I don't think they want to pay him more than the $7 million. Right. That seems to be their cutoff right now. Looking forward to the fact that you're going to have, you know, guys that are coming up on new contracts that are, you know, when McAvoy, let's face it, Carlo is already going to be due, he eligible for an extension next year. McAvoy the year after. So when you're looking forward to these guys who are other parts of the core, the younger parts of the core, if you're paying Torrey Krug $9 million, how are you going to, you know, pay the guys that are in their prime that do more for you, more than that? I mean, this is, you know, back in the day, it was Harry Sinden. It was kind of unofficial that Ray Bourque was the salary cap for the Bruins, right? I'm not saying that they're necessarily 100% doing that, but clearly there's a thing here where they're not. That's why you don't have a Mark Stone here, or even a Kreider, people like that you think you're going to have to pay more for that. They want everyone to buy in and understand that $6 million is as good as $9 million when you're playing on a winning team. And Torrey Krug would not be doing these commercials where people are stalking him, or that, you know, the Zamboni's riding around behind him, if he played in some other city that they don't appreciate a guy like that.
Well, here's one quote he gives to you. You say, with all due respect, you know we make a lot of money and we're well paid, but when you're turning down big dollars like that, he's referencing Mookie here, right?
Yeah.
It's not much of a difference in lifestyle, to be honest. You can get away with making a little bit less here and there. That says to me, I'm not looking for $9 right. million. Give me $7 million, and I'm good.
And obviously the quote that I kind of pulled out more was just of him saying he's trying to find the balance between what's fair and what's playing for a winning team. So I think...
Balance of being paid fairly and obviously being part of a winning team, too.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, there was also another comment that he made about getting your last kick at the can, but I think that kind of was more about other guys. Like he talked about...
For us, you typically only get one kick at the can, so you're trying to maximize your value and as much as you can make. So definitely right. A little bit crazy.
Yeah, so when you think about that, but I think he understands maximizing his value is my value to the Bruins. Because does he really want to go someplace? We've talked about this before. I mean, break it down for me. Where is he going? The Detroit thing is ludicrous. Why would he want to go there for $9 million to go to a total rebuild?
Because they'll pay him $9
million. They just traded double A. They traded Mike Green. They traded everybody worth, you know, they have like the three players left on that team. So it's really a carcass over there, right? This is a guy who came. Think about this. He joined the team that was the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically negotiated his way into playing two NHL games when he came out of college, because he felt so good about himself, and the Bruins had to agree to that to get him, right?
Right.
But he didn't join some nonsense BS team that he could have played 18 games for them. He came to a place where not only did he come to the team that was defending the Stanley Cup, but then he spent most of the next season in the minors. Only came up because of the injuries in the postseason. So he obviously likes a challenge. Now, is it a challenge? Do you think the challenge appeals to him to go with a team, whether it's Detroit or I guess maybe Chicago might have the space at some point, depending on what goes on with Seabrook and some of their higher-priced guys? There's a few other teams that could probably fit him at the numbers we're talking. But is that the challenge that he wants, to try and turn someone else into a winner? Or maybe to stay here and have a sustained run of success where, you know, this team with the younger guys, not to get too carried away and not to be too positive, but this team could challenge for the Cup for 2, 3, 4 years at this point.
Sure they could. He's 28. They freed up $3.2 million in cap space with their maneuverings here at the deadline.
And don't you think, we always talk about the core and the window closing, but I've always said to you that I don't think the window is closing. The window's closing on this core, but don't you think they've brought in some of the players, at least especially on the back end? I mean, a McAvoy, Carlo, Krug, Grizzlick, if you're keeping those two guys, but if you're working in a Vakanainen at some point here too, and Lauzon, like we're singing his praises today, it's a defense corps that you can actually see the light without Zdeno Chara now.
Yes, I mean, I think long-term goalie's a question, and your centers, you just don't right. know how Stanika Frederick.
Well, that's
and,
just it.
And
they don't Beecher quite have the high-end prospects, but that's to be expected when you're a winning team every year. They never bottom out, right? And they never even came close. They never pick, what was McAvoy the pick? 15? So they've never really picked higher than that, right?
Right.
Maybe you go back to the Dougie, you know, Dougie Hamilton was a Toronto pick, so that's the only time you got really a kick at a top 10 pick lately. So, and they do great with the college free agents, you know, Carson Coleman. We haven't seen Cooper Zach come up. He's got a minor league deal in the AHL. This is a guy as a project. They'll give him some seasoning in the minors. He could be the next Grizzlick for all we know. Some of the lesser heralded prospects seem to contribute in Providence. Obviously, you know, Jay Leach runs a great program down there, and they're getting some the right experience in it. So you don't know, and now they don't have the first round pick this year. So clearly, it's going to be harder to refill the coffers. But this is a team that could, you know, they could be within the structure of the NHL. You can't compare. They could be a Patriots type team at least, where they're there at the end. Every May at least.
But if you don't keep Krug, and this article that your conversation says to me, Krug is willing to stay for 7 years and $7 million per. That's
right.
Less, and he's willing to do it. The question is, are the Bruins are willing to do it? But why did you free up $3 million in cap space if not to sign Krug? Now, I understand they have a lot of guys up. DeBrusk's going to be an RFA. So is Grizzlick. What are those guys going to make? I have no idea. DeBrusk right now is struggling, but
yeah, I mean,
he's a 20-goal guy.
There was the one article saying DeBrusk is a $5 million player. I don't buy it.
Wow.
Charlie Cole is $5.25 million.
If he's a $5 million player,
but
would you pay him then?
We have to start with the caveat that a lot of these articles we were reading in the summer in the skate podcast, and they were way off. I mean, all these projections.
The Carla numbers. The
guy at the Athletic with the name that that starts with an L that's all vowels.
God, you hate the Athletic.
What is up with that guy? Right? I don't know if any of his predictions were right. I remember going back and looking at them, and he was way off on so many of them.
Dom LeCizern.
Yeah, whatever his name is. And so you can't really guess, but again, I think you take the Carlo and McAvoy negotiations from last year. Clearly, it ran up, you know, pretty late into the summer, into the offseason. But mm-hmm. You look at the deals they took, knowing they can cash in at a later date. Everyone has to look at it as the cap's going to go up a little bit this year. Assuming there's a new CBA, there'll be some more, you know, money freed up, and then the new TV deal will expand things, and so there'll be more room for people like McAvoy and Carlo. So it's not the worst thing in the world to kind of let Torrey maximize at this point, to the point where maximize within your structure. So you're saying $7 million?
Yeah.
I would say like 6.8 gets
okay,
it done.
Fine.
You know what I mean? This way they're not hitting that $7 million mark.
But would you trade DeBrusk? I mean, we talked about this before with Krejci.
You have to consider if
he's going
to be DeBrusk
$5
million? $5 million guy. You can't pay a $5 million guy, you know, to be streaky. And you have Kasha and Richie for at least another year. Plus, Bjork and Coleman are going to come in pretty cheap because they've have hardly any experience.
Kasha,
no,
you might have
no
for like
production.
8 years. I mean, you've got control for him for a while, right? I mean, he's an RFA.
Exactly. So you've got these guys. Then you've got the Stadnickas and the Fredericks that you've kept all this time. So they're deep there. You know, are they great? Like I said, are they any high-end players? Other than Stadnicka, are any of them high-end talents? No, but they're all probably NHL contributors. We haven't, you know, obviously we're not even going down low for Beecher. And you haven't seen Jacob Lauko this year because he got injured in the World Juniors. He hasn't really had a run. And
I mean, I like DeBrusk.
There's a guy that we really liked the training camp,
yes,
right? We
I
thought he
Lauko,
might make
yeah.
the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously assuming he comes back full strength from this knee injury he had, there's another guy that can contribute.
So you don't, but the answer is you're not sure if they're going to sign Krug. Krug will sign for 7x7 or 7x6'8", you're saying.
I still think he stays.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think... If you're going to put me on the knock me off the fence here,
yes.
I still think he stays. I think it's like 6 times 6.8. I mean, you know, the other thing in my article was about Kreider and Pageau, right? Again, Kreider, everyone's telling us, oh, $8 million, $9 million on the open market. Clearly, he decided I like it here. I'm going to get.
He got the seventh year though.
He got the seventh year, but at fair money for a guy who produces him. And you have to don't look at the back end. I mean, stop. Fans, please stop being so, you know.
Well, you can't because you just saw Backes with 2 years left on the deal not be able to
Backes
get on the ice.
The Backes thing was a mess. They signed him at 33 years old, 32 years old. Chris Kreider is 28. Torrey Krug is 28. You're talking 3 or 4 good years. The Bruins barely got like a year and a quarter out of Backes.
He's going to hoist a cup
second
last year.
It's different.
Let's go to our good buddy Fred in New Hampshire. Hello, Fred.
Morning, guys.
How
Ken,
are you, buddy?
Matt.
Good morning.
Happy March.
You too.
First thing I like to talk about is the people who wanted Joe Thornton to come back to the
He scored last night.
Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny how everyone's talking about Joe Thornton, and he'd be great for this team. And I told you, won't he be too slow? Pete stood here, sat here telling me he's going to be a fourth-line center on this team. He's too slow. And then after the trade, then when he doesn't go anywhere, people are like, oh, yeah, I guess he was too slow to play for the contending teams.
Nick Ritchie took two penalties yesterday and had one hit. Continue, Fred.
Joe Thornton. Okay, let's go back over Joe Thornton's history. He left here. John Madden ate his lunch the day before he was traded, okay, and then spit him out. And Joe Thornton, the behind-the-net stuff, when they were on a power play, basically killing the power play. Look at his playoff record. Why would you want to bring him in for the playoffs? Look at Joe Thornton's playoff record. They've won 6 division titles. Okay, they went to the Stanley Cup Finals once. Go back and look at 6th and 7th games when he's gone to the playoffs, where he is. He disappears. He's got zeros across the board when they needed him the most. We want him back here for what? We got rid of Backes. We don't need Joe. We don't never need to see Joe Thornton again. Joe Thornton, I don't know what these people are dreaming about, what he did. He was okay here. He was nothing that ever, we'd never have a cup if Joe Thornton was still here.
Ouch.
Never, ever have a cup. There'd be no Chara. Right. That we'd never, ever get to see the great hands of Savard. We would never see any of that. So, I heard that. It just makes my blood boil when people say stuff like that. Anyways, the second thing I want to talk about, you know, and you're going to call me crazy. But we need to see more from Pasta, okay?
More from Pasta?
More?
Yes, more. This guy has more in him to give.
Oh, God.
And you watch, like yesterday's game, okay, he got that goal. What did he do after that? I mean, too many times they would throw the puck to him, and he at times he just throws it in the middle of the ice.
Did you see him cut the Bergeron's defense? He came flying in. He came flying in against Komarov. He took that roughing penalty.
Well, that's fine, but I see so much. He's got 47 goals. He can be better than he is. I've seen it early in the season, him taking over games. He was the star of the game. He's not the star anymore.
Oh.
And he's living on his laurels right now. Oh, we need more from Pasta. I'm call me crazy.
You're okay? Crazy.
But I'm telling you, he can give more, much more. And you know, when Maria says that she doesn't want home ice advantage, I know why they don't want home ice advantage in Boston. 2.6 seconds was left in that game against the Stars at the end of the second period. And there was a delay, and people could have been standing up after that second period, which was a great second period for the Bruins. They could be all standing and cheering and telling the Bruins that, hey, we appreciate what you did in the second period. But were they standing? No. They just 2.6 seconds went by, and the period ended, and they went, you know, they went off. And if you want a home ice advantage, fans got to be there to bring them up. It just bothers me that you see things like that second period, and the fans really, why weren't they given a standing ovation at the end of that period?
Freddie, thank you, my friend. Bringing the cheap music today. Jeez, I'm going after the fans and Pasta.
Let's do this in reverse order. First of all, to go back, I forgot about Maria's point about the home ice advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, she's right about the Chicago series last year, game 7, but as I made Toronto? Reference to my story, 2 game 7s against Toronto. Last year, they took Carolina out of that series by winning those 2 games at home. It's still a help for them. Pastrnak has to give you more. He's 23 years old.
Defensively, he's flaky at times. We all know that. But I think
he backchecks his rear end off, and I think he's shown some physicality this year. And I think we know that teams are targeting him, so clearly he's fighting through it. So, yeah, he's not dominating games that way because he's taking hits and stuff. And then the Joe Thornton thing is interesting because this is what happens with guys, some guys. This happened with Jágr, too. When you make a few quips and the national media, especially the Canadian media, gets a good laugh out of you, you know, Joe Thornton sealed his fate when he made that reference about the 4-goal game and what he was going to do if he scored 4 goals. Once you give the Canadian media a quote like that to run with, you have them in your back pocket the rest of your life. So you go from being the guy who chokes every year to the playoffs to the lovable older statesman who deserves
it
a cup someday.
Been fun. He would have been inspiring. I was
and
pro Thornton.
The fact is, he hasn't won anything. And yeah, he's a great player. I mean, there's plenty of great players that haven't won anything, the Gilbert Perreaux, the Marcel Dions. And Joe Thornton doesn't deserve the cup any more than those guys did, or any more than Ray Bourque, or you know, anyone that actually won one at the end or didn't win one at the end. And they just love him because he's got the beard. You know, he was basically the trendsetter with the crazy beard, and he says funny things, and he's laid back Joe, you know, but it's ridiculous.
On their feet.
It's ridiculous to think he could come in and be a difference maker here.
He could have been an upgrade.
They would have brought
center.
Him here. I mean, how
would have been a Gary Roberts-esque inspiration.
That would have been a terrible position to put Brooks Cassidy in here, because he would have come in here.
Bench Lindholm.
He would have held back the fourth line. They would have been
held
so slow.
The
and then
line.
He's in a position where do you bench Joe Thornton in the playoffs and cause this controversy?
No controversy.
Then the Canadian media, remember, the Canadian media already calls Bruce Cassidy smarmy. The most transparent, genuine, nice coach in all of professional sports, and he gets called smarmy
really?
By the Canadian media.
That?
I think it was like Damian Cox
some guy
or Ken Campbell, one of those bitter
Damian Cox. That's not even
fools.
Count.
But
real quick, John in Maine's been hanging on forever. Real quick, John, how are you?
Good. Good morning, guys.
How are you?
Good morning.
Good. So you know, here's the deal: David Pastrnak need to do more. Come on, come on. But I'm a Rangers fan. I would love to have him on my team. I understand we have Panarin, we got Kreider, we got Zibanejad, but having David Pastrnak, the guy's a generational talent in the NHL. 47 goals right now. He's unbelievable. But, you know, hey, you know what, to each their own. Everybody has an opinion. So there you go. But here's the deal. Piggybacking off of what was said earlier, you guys are definitely going to get the President's Trophy, home ice advantage, the whole nine yards. What matters is what happens in April and May. You know, do you guys have the depth to get there? Mm-hmm. Adding Nick Ritchie, you know, that's one that I scratch my head on, because I watched him in minors with Peterborough. The guy was gritty, hard-nosed on the puck, physical. You know, he hit guys. He was always in front of the net. But you look at him in the NHL, and not a lot of these guys, their junior game doesn't translate to the NHL.
Right.
And it's tough. They get there, and, hey, you don't know what's going on, you know. You have to adjust, and I don't know. I worry about the Bruins' depth, their acquisitions, you know. But, hey, you guys are definitely getting the President's Trophy, home ice advantage, everything. So I wouldn't worry too much, but you're looking towards the future, and you're like, eh, what's going on next? What's going on now? Like, do we trade for Kreider? Do we not? You know, I don't know.
They're trying to serve two masters, John. We talked about that. Matt and I are both a little skeptical that they – didn't go in harder on their depth scoring. More of the skate coming up. Final thoughts. We'll get you ready for James Wiggy and Fallon as well.
You're listening to Sunday Skate with Ken Laird from the Greg Hill Morning Show, Pete Blackburn from CBS Sports, and WEEI.com Bruins writer Matt Kalman. Sunday Skate is brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins, and by Red River Technology.
As for the D, I thought early on we were transporting the puck well through the neutral zone. You know, the Islanders play a certain way with that right wing walk, so you can get up that right side. I thought we took advantage of that. The ice that was available either got an attack or got it in behind them. And then our D kept pucks alive. We're a pretty mobile group back there, so we encourage that. And it usually starts with a good, you know, forecheck situation or playing off the original shot allows us to, you know, our D are know we're coming up, and then the forwards are covering, so that, you know, that... It kind of works in tandem there, so you got to give credit to everybody for that.
Bruce Cassidy, after yesterday's 4-0 win, it is interesting. He in that clip there,
I just love that he uses the word transporting.
But he says
like they're putting it on a truck.
But he says basically the D was active because of schematics, like it was a situational, like they could against New York because of the way they play. Some teams you can't. It's kind of what he alluded to. That's kind of a weird thing to say. Anyway, D had a great game yesterday. McAvoy with his fourth goal. You were one of the few who predicted like 7 or 8 when he had a goose egg
exactly.
A week ago.
Oh,
give you credit
sure.
for that.
Because you saw it coming. You saw the aggressiveness. If he just needed to shoot more and get some bounces, it was going to happen. I mean, the guy is an all-around strong player.
Just want to put a ribbon on the discussion about Krug. Yeah. You talked to Torrey Krug. Check out Matt's article at WEI.com. We've got to get out of here shortly. But you believe he wants to stay for 7x7, 6x7, something
right.
like that. Are the Bruins going to pay him? The bottom line is to keep him. They probably have a tough choice to make. We brought up DeBrusk. If DeBrusk's going to make $5 million, that might be the guy you trade. But also, Halak is a tough call. He's a free agent, and you would love him for one more year, right?
Right, and I don't think he's not going to sign somewhere for more than 1 year where he's not guaranteed to not go to Seattle. So it's going to be a tough decision on his part, how much money he's willing to make. And the fact is, there's so many teams looking for goaltending. He'll
get like a 2 year, $8 million deal or something.
Exactly. So he'll be in good shape. So he's probably gone.
So if you skimp there, maybe you keep DeBrusk and Krug. If you go Vladar, one of these backups, as long as you feel like
Rask can handle the workload. You still have Krejci and Rask to extend, too, so it's going to be interesting to see how that comes down. But I think, you know, if I was going to pick one guy out of all these to be the – now, we were talking a few weeks ago about Krejci being the one to go. Now that you've saved the cap space, you don't have to go that big. Maybe it's Jake DeBrusk. If he's going to make $5 million and be this streaky and not be that reliable when you have so many left wings that can come in and take his spot, that might be the one to go.
And real quick, Bjork got benched first time since October. Is that long term, or you think that's just a little light the fire?
Yeah, I mean, just like we were talking about who's going to play once this stretch of this week's games are over, it looks like Bruce Cassidy wants him to kind of get in there and show he could play a playoff caliber game, and he didn't do it, so he'll get his run again, but obviously he's on a bubble.
All right, two games with Tampa this week. We'll be back. Check us out at the Skate Pod. We post every Thursday for our midweek episode. And, of course, back here next Sunday with Pete Blackburn, 8 to 9 a.m. on 93.7 FM in Boston. We've got coming up next Mark James, Jermaine Wiggins, Courtney Fallon, James, Wiggy, and Fallon on the way next on Sports Radio WEI.